I want you to turn with me in your Bibles into chapter 8. We're going to continue on there. So what was the name of my sermon last week? It's part 2. This is part 3. There's a lot of stuff in the book of Acts, so we might just go parts all the way through. I don't know. I love the book of Acts. I love what God is speaking to his people about in the book of Acts. We are an Acts church. We are a New Testament church. We're a Holy Ghost church. We're a Pentecostal church. I believe with all my heart, everything that God said in his word is true and for today. I believe that we can walk in the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. We can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. We can believe for things that seem impossible and see him do that. I believe that he does those things because he's God. He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to do these things. He wants to do them because he loves you. I hope you understand that he loves you. Because sometimes we don't feel very loved. We kind of curl up in the fetal position, sometimes physically, but sometimes just emotionally. And we just go, I don't think I have any value. No, you have lots of value. You are his creation. He loves you. Well, I got so many problems. Yeah, well, we have some in common. Right? We're working through stuff. We're all working through. I'm working through stuff. I'm not going to tell you what it is. But we're all working through stuff. We all have this human nature that's get bashed up against the shore all day long. But we know that we will survive because he loves us and cares for us. So signs and wonders will follow those who believe. That's you. So in Acts chapter 8, verse 26 to 38, it says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza.' And so he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in the charge of the treasury of Candake, which means queen of the Ethiopians." So we kind of read that, and it's just 3 or 4 sentences. But listen, an angel of the Lord spoke to him and said, does that happen today? Are you listening for him to say things? When we pastored in Whitehorse, I remember the Lord said to me, I was down in Whitehorse, we were pastoring in Dawson City, but we happened to be there, and God just said to me, go to the library. Like, I didn't go to libraries. Like, I didn't go to libraries. I got kicked out of them when I was a kid in school because I was too rowdy. So why would I go? God said, go to the library. And so I went to the library. And when God tells you to go somewhere, he doesn't always tell you exactly what you're going to do when you get there. So I'm in the library, and I'm walking around, and I'm asking God, what am I supposed to do? Who am I supposed to meet? And then everybody I see there, I go, I wonder, is that him or is that her? Am I supposed to do something? I don't know. So I'm walking around there, not really feeling comfortable in the library, and I come around a corner, and here's a kid from my hometown in Princeton that I grew up and I worked for his dad. Like, I didn't know he was in the Yukon. I didn't know anything about him. And God just said, it's him. Sit down and tell him about Jesus. I sat down and told him about Jesus. That's what God will do today, still. He will send you. If you're willing to hear that voice, he will send you. So here's Philip. And they just had a lot of persecution in the church. We read about that last week. And yet he was a guy that was called to what? No, not really, preach. He was called to serve tables so the apostles could do all that kind of stuff. But they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and God used them to serve others. So he said to Philip, head on down to Gaza. Gaza's about 60 miles away from Jerusalem. Head on down. Take your motorcycle and ride. No, walk on down to Gaza. A desert road. Walk on down. How long does it take you to walk 60 miles? You see that peace that we don't see in there? You see that, like, what am I doing? At least I was in an air-conditioned, nicely cleaned library for a couple hours walking around. Not a desert road, not knowing where I was going, not knowing why I was going. And Philip was so obedient to the Holy Spirit, he just went. And so, I don't know, I can walk 10 miles maybe in 3 hours. So if he walks straight through, like, he's walking like 20 hours. Maybe he walked a couple of days. Maybe he slept on the side of the road. Maybe he was thinking, what was he talking to God about? What, you know, like, hey, look, I've been on the road. There's nothing here. There's nothing here. There's no one here. What am I doing? That would be me. Because, you know, I'm that type of guy, like, I don't see anything and I've already been into this for 20 minutes, God. Come on, my time's precious. And he just said, walk on down. So he started out, and on his way, he met this Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of the queen of the Ethiopians. So this guy is riding along in his chariot or in his wagon or whatever, and he's an important official. And so he would have security around him. And maybe that's when God said to Philip, you know, this is the guy I want you to go. And he does really say in the next, he says, this man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah. And the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. So he didn't even tell him what to do next. He just said, go to it. Now the chariot's going now, and so he probably had to pick up his pace a bit. He's walking along. And I'm sure that the security guards were there. I'm sure that they were going, what is this guy doing walking alongside the chariot? Like, we don't care for that kind of stuff. Is he going to try to take this guy out? What is he trying to do? Why is he trying to intrude? And he wasn't part of the team, so Philip is kind of an outsider. And so he's walking along the chariot, and the Ethiopian eunuch had been in Jerusalem worshiping. And so he's reading out loud out of the scroll of Isaiah. Can you imagine, like, reading out loud? So Philip had to understand his language, or he had to be reading in Philip's language. Like, when we were in India, they were translating from Hindi to another language. And so that didn't help me at all. So we sat through like 2-hour sermons and didn't have a clue what they were saying. So I know that somehow, supernaturally, God had connected Philip so that he could understand and so that Philip could communicate. And so he's walking along the chariot, and then God says, do you understand what you're reading? He said that through Philip. And so the guy answered him back and said, how can I unless somebody explains it to me? So then he invited Philip up to come and sit with him. That must have felt good. Don't you think? 60-mile hike, and you're still walking along, the chariot's going. My first thoughts were, maybe I get a ride on a horse or something, like I'm a little tired, you know? If I want to do ministry, I'd like to be a little refreshed, or I would like to have a bit more comfortable, you know? Come on. So maybe he prayed, oh, Lord, let me get in that chariot. That'd be awesome. So anyways, he says, come on up. And there was a specific, I love the timing of God. Isaiah's a big book. Where was he reading? He was reading in the middle of a chapter. Now, they didn't have chapters then. We have chapters and verses. But he was reading this paragraph. It said, he was led like a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer silent. So he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. That's the peace. That's the peace that Jesus, that God had Philip hear, that he was reading out of the book of Isaiah, because it's to do with Jesus and the coming of Christ and the crucifixion and the salvation. Don't you love God's timing? Don't you love it? I've heard so many testimonies about people being in the right place at the right time because they were obedient to go, because they were willing to sacrifice their creature comforts to go, to be there, to be bold. So I think it's significant, this piece of scripture. We find it in Isaiah 53. I think it's significant for us to hear it this morning, because God wants to speak into your heart on your journey. You're on a journey just like the Ethiopian eunuch, only you know Christ, or maybe some of you don't know Christ. But you're on a journey, and Christ wants to speak into your life. He wants somebody to come alongside you and encourage you this morning. So let's look at this. And I took this out of the Message Bible because I think it's a little easier for us to understand. So in Isaiah 53, it says this: who believes what I've heard and seen? Who would have thought God's saving power would look like this? The servant grew up before God, a scrawny seedling, a scrubby plant in a parched field. Nothing attractive about him. Nothing to cause us to take a second look. Isn't that interesting? He describes Jesus as being nothing spectacular in his looks, his physical looks. He looked not super attractive like Saul was, and a head and shoulders taller than anybody else, and really good looking. And I think Jesus was pretty good looking. I think he was a man's man, but I don't think he stood out physically like that as much as he stood out spiritually. Oh, people, I think that's something for us. Don't get hung up on how you look. Get hung up on how God looks through you. Just let people see Jesus. And if you got warts and pimples and short of hair and you're a little overweight, they're not going to see that. That's not who you are anyway. It's who you are inside, and that's what you want. You want that to be mirrored out so people can see you. And so in this, Isaiah is saying this, that Jesus even started off just like us. He wasn't unattractive. That doesn't say that he wasn't acceptable. It just says that wasn't the focus. He was looked down on and passed over, a man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. And that's, we're getting into the area of the crucifixion. We looked down on him, thought he was scum, but the fact is that it was our pains he carried, our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. We thought he brought it on himself, that God was punishing him for his own failures. It wasn't. I always think about the cross. I think about Jesus, and if you've seen the Passion of the Christ, it's pretty horrific. But they said it was less than reality. It was amazing, the abuse that Jesus Christ took. And he wasn't very beautiful when he hung on the cross. Because not only physically was he totally reduced to human rubble and would have been an ugly sight on the cross, because that's exactly, he was humiliated on the cross. He was torn apart on the cross. He was left to die an excruciating type of a death. But he did that not because of his sin, because he was without sin, was made sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what it's all about. So think about the cross. Think about all the horrible, evil stuff that has happened over the centuries. And then think, and especially this last weekend, we celebrated the victory and through Armistice Day and Remembrance Day and the liberation of our world, really, and the death and the cost that it cost so many people that they laid down their lives. Some of the situations that some of these veterans shared are just, they're just absolutely disgusting and appalling and horribly, horrifically traumatic to them, obviously. But for us to hear that they went through that so we could have freedom. Jesus took all of that, took all our sickness, and just drew it to himself. So when it was dark on the cross, and I've said this before, if you could shine a high-powered light on there, you would see the most disgusting, horrible picture you could ever imagine. And I couldn't even imagine, because it's overwhelming to think that Christ took all our sin, all our sickness upon himself. And so Isaiah, can you imagine? This is what the Ethiopian eunuch was reading out loud. And he says, I don't know who this is. And God sent Philip right there at that time. And he says, do you know who you're talking about? Because Philip knew. Philip knew. Philip's life was changed because of Jesus. Philip knew. So the guy says, and Philip knew this. He didn't know who he was talking. Philip says, I can help you. Can you imagine what Philip might have felt like when he jumped up in that chariot going, this is what it's about. This is why I walk 60 miles. This is why I'm beside this chariot. This is the open door. People, we need to believe that God will open doors for us to be able to share. No, don't get in there with the big King James Bible edition and start smacking them down. Don't do that. Let them see Jesus in you. Let you love them through Jesus. Don't condemn them. Don't convict them. That's none of your business. Really, it takes a lot of pressure off us, don't it? Doesn't it? My English isn't that great. It's getting gooder and gooder, though. We got to be people who would just say, Lord, give me this opportunity, and then look around for it. And we can have this opportunity to just love people through Jesus. And sometimes the best evangelism is if we don't say a thing. It is, because we have this, and if you were born again in the 70s and had the evangelism courses, you know, the ones where they take you down and tell you, this is what, if they say this, you say that. And literally a flow chart. I wish I would have kept them, because, and if they don't say that, then you say this. If they say anything like that, then you use that to jump in to say this. And it's just like scripted. And they go, go away. Go away. I don't want to spend eternity with someone like you, because you would just drive me nuts. Continue on Isaiah, it says, but it was our sins that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him, our sins. He took the punishment and he made us whole. Through his bruises we get healed. We're like the sheep who have wandered off and gotten lost. We're all done. We've all done our own thing, gone our own way. We can recall that, right? And God has piled all our sins, everything we've ever done wrong, on him. On him. He was beaten. He was tortured. but he did not say a word. Like a lamb being taken to the slaughter and like a sheep before it is sheared, he took it in all silence. Elaine and I raised sheep on Salt Spring Island, and so I was a good shepherd and I wanted to shear my own sheep. It's a lot harder than it looks. If you ever watch the pros shear sheep, you know they can do it like in 25 seconds, and then it's a fleece. Not mine. It was like somebody took a high-powered vacuum cleaner and sucked the fur or the wool off of the sheep. It was blotches, and there was bleeding spots because I'd clip them, but they would just go like that. You sit them in the right way, and they go. And then you can do their arms. I don't know if they have arms or not, but looked like arms when they were sitting there. And you know, you do their belly and all this. But when they were done, there was this thing called boriform, which is an antiseptic. And it was blue. It was like spray paint. And you spray that on the little spots where you nicked them. Well, when I was done with my sheep, which would take an hour and a half, they were exhausted. Like, you'd have to help them up because they were so tired and so embarrassed. Sheep can get embarrassed. And I took this boriform and I sprayed all those spots, and then I looked out my field and I had Appaloosa sheep. They were blue and white, more blue than white. And they wouldn't come near me for days, honestly. I'd go to feed them and they'd go like, "That's the guy with the clippers. He said he loved us and he sheared us." So Jesus was like that. He was like a lamb being taken to the slaughter, and he didn't say anything. He didn't say, "You guys are going to suffer in hell for the rest of your lives, for eternity. You don't even know who you're messing with. You don't know who you're messing with." You ever had somebody say that? "Don't you know who I am?" Like, who cares who you are? One time we were at a meeting and this guy said, "Don't you know who I am?" And the guy that was running the meeting says, "Get the guy a mirror and show him who he is." Like, who of any of us, "Don't you know who I am?" No, and I don't really care. Jesus didn't do anything to protect himself. He didn't do anything to say, "I'm the Son of God and you're going to pay for this." He said, "I'm the Son of God and I'm going to pay for you. Because I love you." So God piled all his sins on him. And we go continue on. It says, "Justice miscarried and he was led off. And did anyone really know what was happening? He died without a thought of his own welfare, beaten bloody for the sins of my people. They buried him with the wicked, threw him in a grave of a rich man. Even though he'd never hurt a soul or said one word that wasn't true, still it's what God had in mind all along, to crush him with pain. The plan was to give himself as an offering for sin so that we would see life, that he'd see life come from it. Life, life, and more life." Can you live there? Can you live there with Jesus? Life, life, and more life. Please, don't think you have to grovel and wallow your way through this world. We're not of this world. Come on. We're not of this world. Just figure this. Do you get ticked off with the stuff that's going on? Do you get angry inside? Do you get frustrated inside for when there's injustice and when there's bullying and when there's horrible things that happen and people are broken and destroyed? Does that rip your heart out? That shows that you're not part of this world. Your values are totally different. Your values are the values that God has for all mankind, for all mankind. And Jesus is their example. He hung on that cross for the very people that crucified him. And some of those lives were changed at the foot of that cross that day. And we're going to see them. We're going to see them. They don't deserve to be there. But neither do we. We don't deserve that. But we do because he loves us. And God's plan will deeply prosper through him. In other words, it's just not for then, it's for now and it's forever. Out of that terrible travail of soul, he'll see that it's worth it and be glad that he did it. Though, or through whatever what he experienced, my righteous one, my servant will make many righteous ones, as he himself carries the burden of our sins. Therefore, I'll reward him extravagantly, the best of everything, the highest honors, because he looked death in the face and didn't flinch, because he embraced the company of the lowest. He took on his own shoulders the sin of many. He took up the cause of all the black sheep. Don't you feel better that he identified us? How many of you are the black sheep or your family? Huh? How many of you are no, you don't need to put your hands up. All of us could. Or not maybe all of us, but I know the black sheep of the family is the one that doesn't fit in, the one that doesn't comply, the one that doesn't do this, the one that doesn't do that. The black sheep are the ones that nobody, like, we had black sheep on our farm, and they stood out from the white sheep. And there's some rogue sheep. The mailman came up to me and he goes, "Jim, do you have sheep?" And I said, "Yeah." He says, "How many?" I said, "Well, I don't know. I got 7 ewes and a bunch of lambs." He says, "They're all down on the road." And so I went down, and I'm sure that one of them held the barbed wire up so the other ones could jump through. And then they're out on the road and they're all like, "Good, cars are going by." And so what you do is this is technical stuff now. I shouldn't maybe share these sheep shepherd kind of quiet, important, private ways of dealing with sheep. But you get this can. It's called sheep mix. It's got corn and molasses and all grain, and it's not bad with milk and a little sugar. They love it. They absolutely love it. So I get a can about that big, and I go down there. It's like about a half a mile down to the road. And they go, here, sheep. That's it. That's the trick. That's how you call sheep. Here, sheep. They know my voice. They hear the can. They know that there's food, and they come. That's the way sheep run. They run, and then I'm running ahead of them because I'm shaking the can and running ahead of them, and then they run ahead of me. That's when you're not a leader anymore. That's when you are a follower that doesn't know what to do because you were a leader before then, and you're only worried about who is following you and what they're going to do now because they don't have a leader, and they're up the driveway into the neighbor's yard who used to be a retired horticulturist. That's a flower guy for you wondering. And they ate every flower in his yard. Every one. They left the stems, which is nice. They just knocked them all off. All the heads went off. And by the time I got up there, I was out of breath, and I couldn't even call them. They're full. They didn't need me anymore. I got them over, got them into my pen, got them, make sure, went down, checked the fence line. And I visit with my neighbor. Was not really pleased. So we did reward him with some flower-fed lamb in the spring. So that we kind of made it some peace treaty there. The thing is that God wants you to know that black sheep are acceptable sheep. So you might be praying for some black sheep in your family. You might be praying for some friends who publicly say, "I'm a black sheep and I don't comply with anything." Well, they're the ones that God loves, just like he loves everyone else. And there's a lot of black sheep that are sitting here that have been changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's go back to our story here as we wrap this up. The eunuch asked Philip, Please tell me, who is this prophet talking about? Him, self, or someone else? He's a smart man. He's an educated man. He says, who is this? That's a good question. And then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him all about the good news of Jesus. Isn't that awesome? We don't know how far down the Gaza road that he rode with him. We don't know that. But he started, and he started to preach. He started to share, and he started to identify Jesus to the Ethiopian eunuch. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, hey, there's some water. He is a sharp guy. Look at that. There's some water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized? Why did he want to do that? I think it's because when Philip was talking to him, he was talking to him about coming to Christ, repenting of your sins, being baptized. And so he said, so what stops me from being baptized? Well, you haven't done the 6-week program. You haven't been really part of our church for a long time. So we don't really know you. You're from another country. We don't know. Like, I just don't know whether we can do that right now. You know? Like, it says here, and this verse is missing out of the original. So the earlier manuscripts didn't have it. It said, Philip said to him, and that's why it's in brackets, if you believe with all your heart, you may. That's it. Not, well, you got to recite the sinner's prayer the way I want it done. It's got to be done this way. It's got to be done according to RPC. It's got to be done that way. You can't miss any pieces out, and you got to say it with your heart to Jesus, not to me. He just said, if you're in your heart, you believe, you will be saved. That's what it says in Romans. Okay? Thief on the cross didn't, at least we don't read, where he recited anybody's prayer. He just said, hey, remember me in the kingdom. And he replied, I do believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, that wasn't in the original. But I would believe, just like I believe that he talked to him about baptism, he talked to him about salvation in Jesus Christ. And so he said, hey, all you got to do is believe. Where are you at right now? Maybe some of you just need to believe. And God will change your heart right now. God will change your heart right now. I'm going to pray. I'm not done, but I'm going to pray with you. Everybody just bow your head. You got to remember, before I start this prayer, you got to remember that the Ethiopian eunuch had a whole entourage around him. And they were speaking out loud. They were speaking out loud. And what they did, he probably led them in a prayer. Or the Ethiopian eunuch, we don't even know his name. Let's call him Bill. No, I don't know Bill. Are you from Ethiopia, Bill? We'll call him William, okay? Willie. Willie from Ethiopia. He just probably said to Willie, look, Jesus died on the cross for you. I know him. What Isaiah was saying is about him. So let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, I pray for everyone right now who may have your Holy Spirit just kind of speaking into their lives, knocking at their door, saying, hey, I would like you to believe that I can forgive you of your sins once and for all. And I can establish you. I can establish you in a relationship with God the Father that will last for eternity. You may think that you're a black sheep. You may think that that doesn't apply to you, but the Holy Spirit right now is saying, you need to respond because I love you. This is an invitation. So I'm going to say this prayer, and I just want you to say it with me out loud. Jesus, thank you for coming to this earth and dying for my sins. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for loving me as much as you do, that you sent Jesus to be my Savior. Holy Spirit, thank you for drawing me into a place where I can ask for forgiveness. Thank you for grace. And so I ask for forgiveness for my sins. And I ask you to be my Savior and my Lord and my best friend. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. And then he may just, a little further down your journey, say, what stops me from being baptized? Now, please understand that it's nothing magical. It's symbolically spiritual. You die, you go down in the tank, and you come back out. Well, it's like going in the grave and coming back out in resurrection. If you haven't made a commitment to Jesus Christ, you go down in the tank, you go down as a dry sinner, you come up as a wet one. That's it. That's all it is. It's just something you can do. I mean, you do that hopefully every day in the tub, you know. But it's symbolic of something that changes your life significantly when you know Christ. And that's why we are celebrating. I mean, I am so excited about how many people have been baptized. I don't even know how many people. And I haven't even baptized anybody here. That's the awesome thing. It's been Pastor Dan and Pastor Stephen. They're the baptizers. Isn't that amazing that God is doing such a wonderful work in people's lives for eternity? So, the Ethiopian gave orders to stop the chariot, and they both went down, and Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized Willie. When they came out of the water, I love this. This is the Acts book. This is the Spirit of God snatches him away. What does that mean? You look it up in the original Greek, it just says picked up, took away. Snatched him away. Awesome stuff, don't you think? Out of the, he's still dripping. Maybe Pastor Stephen and Pastor Dan will start being a little bit more uncomfortable in there, because you might end up, who knows, in Kelowna. Right? Asatos, the town where he ended up, was 20 miles away, 30 miles away, depends on who commentaries are talking about. But he just picked him up out of that water, and it says, Willie, the Ethiopian eunuch, seen him no more. What do you think that did to him? Like, whoa, hallelujah. This is crazy. Where did that guy go? Let's check the pond. Like, did he come up himself? He's gone. And I don't know how long it took. It sure didn't take as long to walk from Jerusalem to Gaza as it did to get from where he was to Asatos. And I think you'd have been dripping wet. Maybe traveling that fast, his clothes would have dried. I don't know. But the Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing, don't you think? And probably never seen Philip again until he got to glory. What a powerful story. Does that happen today? Can it happen today? Absolutely. God is not unable to do all these things, and he's promised that he would do these and greater through us. So expect God to do these things. Expect him to do them in your life, the black sheep. He'll use black sheep. He used me. I was sitting teaching that course yesterday, teaching hermeneutics, which I have a hard time spelling. This kid from Princeton, who didn't know anything about the Bible, who knew nothing when we got saved, Elaine and I, you know the sword drills? Okay, everybody hold it by the spine like this, all right? Okay. Lamentations 2:6. Oh, yeah? What is Lamentations? What is anything? And then I got my Bible upside down, too. So we had no idea. And then I think, what has God done in our lives? He has blessed us with the ability to teach and encourage others in the gospel of Jesus Christ that changes lives forever. If you made that commitment to Christ this morning through that prayer, you are changed forever. That is a beautiful thing. You can walk in the power and the anointing and the love of Jesus Christ for the rest of your life here on earth and for eternity forevermore. So, Willie, the Ethiopian eunuch, continued on, and tradition says that he just turned Egypt upside down. He preached the gospel. He preached about miracles. He preached about everything. And there's a strong, strong culture, at least at that time. So Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Do you think that he would have been pumped? Do you think the guys that saw him touch down? Really? Like, touch down. He had to touch down. He'd still be flying around today. He had to touch down somebody. I'm sure that God would have touched him down in the middle of the town square. And they go, whoa. And then he go, hey, you want to hear what happened? You bet. Hey, do you want to hear what happened? Jesus Christ changed my life and touched somebody's life and gave me an opportunity to see his miraculous hand at work. That's why it's so much alive, the Word of God. That's why it's so much alive that we belong to him. That's why it's so much alive. Life, life, and more life. Life, life, and more life. Pastor Randy, would you come with the team, and we're going to close this service here and encourage you to go into a service there. And you can all do it because he's equipped you to do it.